Father, I just thank you, excuse me, that this is your day. I thank you, Father God, that you were in our presence, still are in our presence. And I thank you, God, Father God, that you received our praise and worship this morning. And Father God, we lay down every sin. We lay down every weight. We lay down every false accusation, Father, that the Lord is trying, that the enemy is trying to labor us with. We give it all to you right now. We laid it in your hands, Father. And we thank you for the blood that sets us free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we sang that one song, and that we will worship the Father through our problem. You're going to need that song resonating in your hearts in the days ahead, because the enemy is coming after us with everything that he has. And I thank you. I'm waiting to see if they have to do something with my microphone. No? Yes? They like me to eat it. Because the enemy's coming after you with everything he has. You know, if you had to find a prayer partner, then find one. But do whatever you have to do and make it through this season. I'm hearing God say this difficult season. The war has been heavy, but it's going to get heavier. We're going to have more fatalities in the body of Christ. In other words, more people are going to be falling away from the Father. If you haven't made up your mind yet, you're in trouble, because the enemy knows who you are, and he's come after you with everything he has. Now, don't let him push your old buttons. Just don't let him do that. Disconnect them and go on with God. You've already been around that mountain. You don't want to go around it again and again and again. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go around any mountain that I've already been around. It was too hard. Let's just see what God has to say here. I entitled this All Out War. This is God speaking. The massive buildup of war supplies means only one thing, war. The war in the heavenlies has escalated to an all-out battle to the end. There is so much at stake at this given time. Many casualties on the home front. Many were caught off guard, and still more to come. You must be about the Father's business, or you will become a casualty of war also. And you know, when God said the massive buildup of war supplies means only one thing, war. And I questioned him about that, and he said the enemy is bringing out his artillery against the children. So you're going to find yourself really fighting darkness like you never fought it before. And one reason why you're fighting this darkness is to prove who you really are and where you're really at in your walk with God. Some of you think you're someplace that you're not. Others think you're not someplace that you are. You know, but this war that has already come upon his children is going to prove to you exactly where you stand. So God said, you must set your minds on Christ and Christ alone. In and through him is the only way. His blood was shed for the remission of sin. Apply this weapon of warfare and then march in the army of God. You must pick up the wounded that are strewn on the path of war. You must take resurrection power with you as you forge onward. You have been trained in every facet of this dark warfare. He said, you must pick up the wounded that are strewn on the path of war. Those are the prodigals who just couldn't make the battle. We need to go back, and we need to be praying for them, and we need to be holding up their arms, and we need to be doing all that God has called us for to do to bring them back into the house of God. God said, you know exactly what needs to be accomplished. You must go forward with victory on your mind like King David. He knew who his enemy was and knew from whence cometh his help. He was a warrior, prophet, priest, king, and subdued nations. So he said, we have to be like King David. He knew from whence cometh his help. And then he was a warrior, prophet, priest, king, and subdued nations. In Psalms 12, it emphasizes that the help we receive comes from the Lord who created heaven and earth. Quit trying to do this thing on your own strength. It's going to take God, the Holy Spirit, the angelic host, the blood of Jesus. It's going to take all the weapons of warfare to see us through this phase of the war. You just can't willy-nilly walk into this. You need to get up out of your self-pity. You need to get up out of whatever it is you're in, and you just need to be strong in the Lord. We're all being fought. There isn't one person in this room isn't being fought with everything that Satan has against you. Now, it's up to you whether you make it or you break it. God's here for us, but he's not going to do the work for us. All right? You have the weapons. You work for it. You fight the enemy. King David was on the backside of the desert tending sheep, but he learned warfare in that place of complete solitude. You see this? In that place of complete solitude. Just David and the sheep. But we don't have the sheep. We just have ourselves and God. And we need to learn to do war with the Father at our side. You, my children, were once on the backside of the desert learning spiritual warfare. Like David, your time has come to come forth and fight. There's a special time for each one of us to be brought forth. And this is a time that each one of you, God is trying to bring you forth and fight. You know most of the enemy's tactics, and what you do not know, I will teach you as you proceed forward. Like David, I will allow you to find favor in the eyes of the downtrodden. They will place their trust in you, and you must cause them to place their trust in my son Jesus. When I read that, you know, when he spoke that, I thought about the cave of Medulla, is that what it is? And everybody that was a mess went to David. And David made a mighty army out of them. And God said here, like David, I will allow you to find favor in the eyes of the downtrodden. In other words, God's going to send the unsaved to you. And they're going to, God's going to, the Holy Spirit in you is going to draw them. And you're going to find them saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit. Then God said, these are the wounded ones that the church has pushed aside and are walking over them instead of extending a helping hand and showing them the way of grace and love. This has been going on in the churches since day one. God wants the church to really become a hospital. He wants the church to become people of one mind and one accord with Christ, and he wants love to be poured out upon the people. Some of you, you've been in church long enough, you should be a leader, but you're not a leader because you're still down there in the molly grub feeling sorry for yourself and want everybody to pay attention to you. That is not going to work. That is not going to work. When people say to me, how are you feeling? I'm feeling fine. Sympathy is not going to do anything. You see what I'm saying? We need to quit praying for ourselves. We need to start praying for others like Job did. When Job prayed for his friends, then God healed him. But not until then. You know, look around about you. Somebody else is far more off than you are. See, but we don't do that. We're always looking inward. poor me, look at me, what about me? Well, that isn't the way God's kingdoms work. You have to look outward and see what's really going on in the world. Peter chapter 4, verse 10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. As good stewards of God's varied grace, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belongs glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you. See that? As though something strange were happening to you. People say, how come this is going on with me? You're being tested. God's been telling us all along, these are tests, and you have to pass each and every test in order to move forward into the leadership position that God has called you to be. True leadership will bring the wounded into my house. See that? True leadership will bring the wounded into my house, and they will nourish and provide a place of safety for each one. This leadership will not allow the wolves in the house to devour the wounded ones. They have been given wisdom and truth because they are marked to provide refuge in the storm. That's why God uses me to speak. I am not going to allow wolves in the house of God to devour the wounded that are already in the house of God or that God sends into the house. You know, if you want to be a wolf, then there's the door. We wish you the best. But I cannot, as a leader of this church, allow you to destroy another child of God. Plain and simple. It's the way it is. All right, this leadership knows what it is to be hounded by the dark side and win the battle. They know the attacks of the dark side and will not allow this darkness to snuff out the light of righteousness and holiness. He's talking about real leaders, true leaders. These leaders are a rare breed. The enemy has been trying to snuff out their light, but only to find their light growing brighter and brighter. They are a beacon of hope for those who are perishing. See, you need to be a strong leader. You need to be a leader walking in holiness and righteousness to bring other people hope. Everybody that comes through the door, and as long as we've been here, they have a problem. And they're coming in the house of God because they want God to deliver them from their problem. And if you don't have true leadership, if you don't have a group of people who are walking in righteous holiness, that is not going to happen. I know, because this church has gone through too many church splits because somebody with lust or perversion has come in here and then started hunting out the women or hunting out the men. And when we talk about it, they leave, but they also destroy the church while they're leaving. All right, but we do what we have to do. Each one of you, as a leader, you do what you have to do to protect the sheep. You're like David. You're tending the sheep. All right. These leaders have houses of refuge that the battle weary can run into. The battle-weary know of me, but these houses of refuge with the true leaders will teach them how to truly see me and hear my still small voice for instructions. And if you haven't noticed, we have a sign out there that says House of Refuge. God told me to put that sign up 20 years ago, and I didn't know what he wanted it up there for, but I know now. He was getting this church ready to be a house of refuge for the wounded and the downtrodden. And he's building this church up so that we can be a hospital and that we can minister to the people and bring them hope and bring them life. All right, so Job 4:25, my ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. And your way God's been moving, people are seeing visions in the praise and worship and even in the services. And these wounded people that are being sent in, this is what they'll say. My ears had heard of you. And God's going to give him visions, but now my eyes have seen you. I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the fact that people aren't going to come into a mundane church. I get so excited with you young people dancing, and I looked at the old fogies over here. You've got to get something done over here. You're just not making it. Just not making it over here. The fire's on this side of the church. Amen. All right, Bible cities of refuge. The cities of refuge were six Levitical towns in the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah. These cities provided asylum for perpetrators of unintentional manslaughter. In other words, these people had done things they shouldn't have done, and there were cities of refuge that you could go to and be protected until you went on trial. I think I've all that written down. Divinely appointed and subject to Mosaic law, they offered offenders refuge and protection from retribution by the avenging family until their case went to trial. The six cities were strategically placed along both sides of the Jordan River, ensuring that they could be easily reached within one day of travel or less. If someone accidentally caused the death of another, they could flee to one of these cities for safety and await a fair trial before the assembly. It's neat if you're a house of refuge. Maybe even somebody who's committed a crime, God would send them in here for a place of asylum until they got their life right. Isn't that awesome? Think about that. The Levites who were responsible for maintaining these cities also served as judicial authorities and mediators between the offender and the victim's family to prevent further bloodshed. The names of the cities of refuge included Kadesh, Shechem, Hebron, Golan, Ramoth-Gilead, and Bezer. They were essential for justice and mercy in ancient Israel. We, in the Lighthouse Church, have a responsibility for the hurting people that's out there that God wants to send in. You know, when people and spirits manifest, we do not judge you. We pray for you. We help you get delivered. Our job is not to judge you, because once we were there also. The Bible's never forget from whence you came, and you came in full of demonic activity. And look what the Lord has done. And so we don't think anything of it when somebody manifests. We just thank God they do, so we can pray and set them free. Are you understanding that? That means the anointing is high in here, and the anointing is what causes those things to manifest. We see it all the time, so please, you might not even know you have an evil spirit. If one manifests, don't be embarrassed, don't be ashamed. Just thank God that it's gone. All right? All right, we have modern-day houses of refuge. God said they will teach the wounded ones how to get up and stay standing with the sword of the Lord and the blood of Jesus. All right, now, the houses of refuge can be seen as types of Christ in whom sinners find refuge from the destroyer of our souls. Just as a person could seek refuge in the city set up for that purpose, we flee to Christ for refuge, right? You don't flee to Barbara, you flee to Jesus for your refuge. Hebrews 6:18 says, "So God has given both his promise and his oath." These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. We run to Christ to escape the danger we are in from the curse and condemnation of the law, from the wrath of God, and an eternity in hell. Only Christ provides refuge from these things, and it is to him alone that we must run. Just as the cities were open to all who fled to them for safety, it is Christ who provides safety to all who come to him for refuge from sin and his punishment. This is not a bragging statement, but I'm very confident that we are a house of refuge because God told me to put the sign out there, and I didn't know what a house of refuge was. And I just do what God tells me, just like this sign here. Build a bridge and get over it. I was in a store. God told me to buy it. I thought it was neat, and I stuck it up there. Then we found out what that's all about. There's a story about it behind everything that God shows you. There's always a story behind it. So don't just boohoo it. Go ahead and do what God's telling you to do and let Him show you what's going on. All right? And whenever you come into a house of refuge, you don't expect to be attacked by a wolf. You expect to be loved and nourished. All right? You expect the truth to be spoken to you. And this is what we always aim for in here, because this isn't our church, it's God's church, and we run it the way God tells us to run it, not the way man tells us to, but the way God tells us to. Your walk with God should be the way God's speaking you to walk. It shouldn't be the way somebody's telling you to walk, because I had so much of that when I opened a church. I like to have a fit, everybody telling you how to do it. And you know, I finally kind of, if you know how to do this, you open your own church. You know, I heard God's voice. I'm doing what God's telling me to do. And I'm not going to change. I wasn't bullheaded. I just knew that I knew that I knew that God was telling me what to do. And each one of you in here, because God said He's going to send leaders in here that were going to be trained to be sent, then sent back out to work for Him as a leader. So if you're a leader, learn how to hear God's voice first, and then follow that voice. And God's word said that you won't follow any other voice once you hear His voice. Now, if you're full of pride, you're going to get in trouble, because your voice is going to say all kind of things to you. And you don't want to listen to a prideful voice. But know that you're in God's presence, and do what He's telling you to do. It's going to be scary, because He's going to tell you to do something you've never done before. You're going to step out there in total and complete faith. That's what I did. And you know, and God just, He stepped in and He just did everything. He still does everything. We just go with the flow. We just enjoy the moment. And this is what you need to learn to do. Follow Christ with all your heart. Live holy and righteous, and then just go with the flow. God will always speak direction to you. All right, God said, you will see these houses of refuge filled to overflowing with new recruits. The army of the Lord will be built up, and statistics will show that the wounded ones become fewer and fewer as the warriors of the cross ascend to the hill of righteousness and provide a way of escape. These houses of refuge are spiritual hospitals, healing with the vessels of honor. I'm sorry, healing the vessels of honor, casting out all darkness and bringing the light of truth in all its fullness. These leaders are well seasoned. They have been through the furnace of affliction over and over again. They have been through the process of the refiner's fire. They know what it is to be rejected for my name's sake, but they also know what it is to be held in the Father's loving arms till the storm passes by. These are the chosen ones. These are the ones that I have forsaken all and obeyed. I'm sorry. These are the ones that have forsaken all and obeyed my still small voice of instruction. See what you have to be a chosen one, be a leader for God. To be named a house of refuge, my glory must invade the walls of protection. To be named a house of glory, a refuge, my glory must invade the walls of protection. My glory will come, abide, and do my mighty works. In other words, the glory of the Lord has to be in here at all times. And it is. It is sometimes greater than others, but the glory is always here. The leaders of these houses have been in my presence. They are my friends. They are willing to go another mile with another wounded brother or sister. Even though they grow weary at times, they pick themselves up, dust themselves off, and continue on their journey, knowing their mission on this earth is souls. It isn't money. It isn't prestige, it's souls. It's all about souls. Few find that place of leadership, but the few that do will do great exploits for the Father in heaven. They will scale the walls of injustice, pluck the soul out of the hands of the enemy, and proceed forth with victory on their lips. These leaders ask nothing in return. They know freely they have received, now they freely give back into my kingdom. And Matthew 10:8 says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you have received, freely give. These leaders have learned discipleship. They know what it is to be bound, and they know what it is to be free. They are going forth into the fire with total faith, knowing I am with them. Matthew 28:19 says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. See that? It is in these houses of refuge that you will see great signs, wonders, and miracles. Get ready, the rain is beginning to fall. Once it begins, it will never cease. This rain is bringing in the end time harvest. Where will you be when the rain falls? Some of you still don't have clean eyes. You don't have pure minds. And if you think that God's going to use you as leader, he's quit. He's not. Your eyes have to be pure. Your hands have to be pure. And your mind has to be pure in order for God to use you as a leader. God's going, I'm just telling you what I'm hearing. God's going to abandon you. And then you will be weeping and moaning and groaning, because he's given you more than enough time to heed his call in your life. God is calling many to the forefront right now. Are you truly answering that call? Or are you pretending to answer that call? Do you really worship with holiness and purity of heart? Or do you just worship for others to watch? There's somebody in here today, you're really in trouble with God. I felt it all the service. There's somebody in here, you are totally disobeying God. You are doing things he's told you not to do. If I was you, I wouldn't blame God whenever you feel his spirit totally leave you. If I was you, I'd go ahead and enjoy life, because you've already made your decision that you'd rather serve the devil than God. I don't like saying that, but that's the truth. You have been given opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to live a godly life, and you're refusing. Don't say you can't do that, because you can. Y'all know my story. I've been through every hell there is to go through. I've been through every valley of affliction and darkness. And I'm still standing because I made a promise to God. I will serve you with all of my heart, just not part of it. And God told you he wants all of you or none of you. There's some of you in here, you're new to the deepness of God. You've been going to church. You know of God, but there's a deep part of God you have not yet entered into. God is ministering to us right now to get us right, because the war is going to escalate. The war is to take God's people out. Some of you know the story of somebody who I thought was going to go to heaven, and he went to hell. And I watched him die and go to hell. I never want to see that again. But he thought his good works and his good deeds were going to take him to heaven. And he figured God was going to excuse all the sin that he did. Doesn't work like that. You have to be holy. You have to have a pure heart. Clean. Some of you need to just get new minds, because you keep walking in the old mindset. And it's going to take you to places you don't want to go. All right. Some of yourself deceived. You're lying to yourself. Now, this is God speaking to you. And he wants you to let him take that self-deception out of you today. And he wants to set you on the high towers where he can use you as a true leader. But are you willing to do that? Are you willing to say, here I am, God, all of me, from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet? Are you really ready to submit to his authority and become obedient to everything he's calling you for to do? Sometimes obedience is hard. It's got me in trouble twice for disobeying. And the one thing God told me, what's the scripture? Something will never leave your home. The sword will never leave your home, because God told me to remove somebody out of my home. But I couldn't do that because after all, there were family, and where would they go? But because God said, because you're disobedient, the sword will always be in your home. He told David that too. Remember, he told David that. And so really and truly, when it comes right down to it, all the hell I live at in my home is my fault. I can't blame it on the people that's doing it. I can't blame it on God, because God told me what to do and I didn't do it. So you have to obey God. Then one other time I disobeyed God. The pastor in the pulpit, really, I was just like you, just sitting in the seat enjoying the service. And they did their service all about me. And then held the Bible up, said I was a witch. And I went home and I wasn't upset about it, but everybody kept saying, well, you have a right to be upset. So God said, don't go there. You don't have a right to be upset. Don't go there. And I said to God, I will if I want to. So for one whole year, I had to pay a price for that disobedience. So I hope I learned my lesson. I hope I don't have to go through the third thing. So what's God asking you to do that you're not doing? See, I'm not sitting there telling you something that I don't do. I'm not asking you to do something that's not godly. What God dictates the message. He starts speaking through me. It's him speaking to you. Now you can either receive or reject. You know, we've had people come in here and say from different states, well, you know, we heard you were, and they come, but they see something in here that's not godly, not from me. And they don't come back again, because they don't want a wolf chasing them around the church. If you're gonna be a leader and you're going to work for God, then be a leader. Know that you're there to protect God's people. You're there to feed the sheep. They're not there to feed you. They're there for you to feed them. So what are you going to do with this information this morning? Are you going to give God all of you? Do you want to, with this all-out war, do you want to win the battle? Or are you going to take your chances and maybe lose out? The altar's open this morning. God wants to place within you people an anointing from heaven that will destroy every yoke in you first, and then in the people you come in contact with. I could sit here and tell you that all the miracles God has used me to work through for the past 40 years. That's not going to help you. I can tell you that God's a miracle working God. You have to make up your mind. I don't care how great the pastor was blessed, how great God used her. I want to be used by God. It's me that I want God to touch. The altar is open if you want to be one of those people.